Coming up on This Week in YouTube, we have Brian Brushwood and Amy. Lamar's out. He's a little bit sick. And we talk about the YouTube Capture app and a little bit of quick editing on the fly. Google Plus and YouTube merging the fallout. We talked about that a little bit last week as well. And how you can get to 10,000 subscribers. All that coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in YouTube is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is This Week in YouTube, episode 31, recorded November 18th, 2013. Eat my channel. This episode of This Week in YouTube is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that is fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIYT11. And by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Visit HuluPlus.com/TWIYT to start your free 2-week trial. That's HuluPlus.com/TWIYT. Hey, and welcome to This Week in YouTube, the show that'll help you, the creator, keep up to date with all of the happenings on YouTube and a little bit beyond. I'm Chad Johnson, and this week, Lamar Wilson, he's actually sick. He is fighting some nasty bug, and he can't make it. But that is completely fine, because we have a triumphant return from Amy. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining on such short notice. And that's not all. We also have Brian Brushwood. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. This is so awesome to be on your show, Chad. At some point, we shouldn't say anything yet, but we should explain why this is an awesome twist in a little bit.
We should. Well, let's just go ahead and do it now. This is kind of like a little bit of a teacher... student
becomes a master. The student becomes a master. Yeah,
right. So I was Brian's stage manager and assistant for a year and a half while Brian toured all around America, and I would help him with one of his very popular products, Scam School, and I would help, you know, come up with ideas, and Brian would of course do them, and I would help out on set. And now you're joining the show.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. In fact, one of the biggest episodes of Scam School, when we did the live South by Southwest, like, you could see Chad pre-red hair in the background, right, on stage helping out. He was actually the assistant volunteer on several of the episodes of Scam School. If you look back in the archives, I think the one called Confidence Man, you were amazingly qualified at learning the magic tricks, probably because you had already taught for a whole summer at magic camp.
Right,
before.
Right. Right.
But it's awesome to see how part of coming out to San Francisco to shoot Scam School episodes is what gave you the insight to the production process. It's also what put you in touch with the folks over at Twit, so that when they were shorthanded and they need somebody who knew how to produce video, you were there. And of course, that's what led to you being talent on your own show about YouTube. How awesome is that?
I know. It all comes around. It's kind of insane. And I would suggest go check out Scam School. It's super highly produced. Brian, on top of that, does a lot of stuff. And I would suggest just going to your Twitter account probably to find out everything that you do, because, I mean, there's a long list of things that you work on. What are some of the things that you do?
There's too much. Like, okay, so from when you think of your brand, what you should do is be exactly one thing. And so I'm an idiot who wants to be, like, I never try to cross-promote. Like, if you know me from Scam School, great. I'm the guy from Scam School. If you know me from my stage show, great. I'm the guy who shoves a tube up his nose, you know? If you know me from Frame Rate, great. I'm the guy who argues about movies with Tom Merritt. And if you, and I guess the only other thing is what? NSFW every Tuesday night. And the Weird Things podcast.
And the Skype echo call that.
I'm the Skype lady is what I masquerade as from time to time.
Yeah, it might be the most popular thing that you know Brian from. We have a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and kick it off with a little bit of YouTube app news. YouTube has an app called YouTube Capture for iOS. It's not for Android yet, and it's added a little bit of extra functionality. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I did want to go over a few of the things that you can cover in the app as a quick little walkthrough. The app is pretty simple. So you start off with just capturing video, and we can show it off right here for you.
Yeah, I'm installing it right now. The moment you said
perfect.
It, I just logged into YouTube Capture app is what I searched
perfect.
For.
Perfect. Yeah, there you go. And so it'll look like this. And it does some nice little tips. So if you do the horrible portrait mode, this overlay says, turn
it starts yelling at you?
Your camera to the side, please. Which,
that alone is worth the price of admission.
Right? Isn't that the best thing ever? It's really simple. You just go ahead and hit the record button. This isn't new, but one thing that is new is that I'm going to take a few clips here just so that we have something to work with later on when we actually get into editing the quick video that we're doing. One thing that I did notice is that on the other camera, if you flip it back over, it's very zoomed in. I kind of have this Coke can, and you can see that if even with the Coke can a fairly good distance, it's capturing like half of that can. It kind of took me back with just how close that it kind of crops. Also,
now, what do you suppose the reason for that is? Is that a case where it wanted to get rid of some wide angle lens, but it doesn't do that on the front view though?
The reason I think so is because it automatically has image stabilization turned on. So it's cropping out
brilliant.
The edges so that it can do, because this iPad doesn't have optical image stabilization. I don't believe this camera does. And so it's doing it with software. And I kind of wanted to move around just a bit to kind of show off. Once you're done, you have a little thing up in the corner, and you can go and sort of review what you did. You can hit play and just play it all the way through. Let me go ahead and just mute my iPad just because it's saying stuff at me. And you can really kind of see it. If you click into a clip, now I can trim the ins and out points of this clip. And let's say, you know what, I really don't, this is just kind of, it's just kind of sitting here. So let's just go ahead and get rid of it. One issue is that I wish that it would kind of give you a live preview of what frame you're cutting out. You have to sort of let it sit and then wait for it to jump to the first frame and then hit play to see which frame it went on. There is, it's kind of hard to tell on, because we're using a camera to shoot the iPad, but there is, you can definitely tell that it's doing some sort of software
stabilization. Yeah, it's ultra smooth. I've already loaded it onto my iPhone, and as I pan around, it's like supernaturally smooth.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah. And then so once you're done with editing, it's actually pretty simple. You can also add music. So you can add music from your iPad or from YouTube soundtracks, which are all free, which is kind of nice. And of course, commercially usable. So let's just say done.
Done. Hey, Chad,
you can set the, yep.
Since you could grab stuff from the iPad, have you tried to see what would happen if you tried to use a copyrighted song on there? Would it just, you know, see no evil and let you get away with it?
I think it's going to see no evil and let you get away with it, because if I hit select movie here, if you hit select music from device, it says copyright notice. As a reminder, you must have copyright to use the access that you upload. You just hit OK and then you go to your normal iTunes. I currently don't. I stream music, so I don't have anything in my library.
Sure, but that's their kind of getting
right
off the hook, where they're all like, hey, bro, we warned you.
We told you. Yeah, please
boy.
Don't steal music. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
There are a little bit of limitations. Obviously, like when I'm editing a video, I can't disable the audio, which I have actually. Let me show you a video. So anyway, once you're done, you go ahead and click through. Then it's a pretty easy publish. You can set your privacy settings. You can share it to different networks. You can also add extra things like color correction, stabilization off, add the description in there, that sort of stuff. I actually went ahead and made a video and exported it already, and I already put it on YouTube as unlisted. So if I go to my video manager, you can see. And one of the things that I didn't like is that you couldn't disable audio. So there's this image of my cat, and you can hear me in the background going to get her to look at the camera.
So you couldn't set it to zero.
Right, exactly. So there, it's a little bit limited. But all in all, I mean, if you were a creator, I mean, you are a creator, Brian, and let's say that you wanted to do vlogs, do you think that an app like this would help you sort of motivate you to make more videos?
Well, here's the problem is that when I do Scam School, you know, we try to make it so highly produced. We want it to look and feel like a like terrestrial television. And so something like this obviously wouldn't work. But YouTube is built. It's an empire of people who want to get their ideas out of their head and into the world in the shortest amount of time possible. And if that's the case, even just putting it on your computer or even, you know, even loading up iMovie and then exporting and figuring that out, it seems to me like iMovie did an extremely good job of filling this same niche. And it seems like Google looked at their platform, their ecosystem, and said, we don't have anything that does what iMovie does. And that's what this is. That's the vibe I get. What do you think?
Right. I completely agree. Amy, how do you feel about this? Do you think this is going to motivate you to make maybe short form videos or
no, you know, I definitely do update an iPhone channel. I call it that. You know, a lot of YouTubers have what they designate as the iPhone channel, where
the lazy channel,
letting people know, like, I'm not editing this. It's coming from my phone. I'm just letting you know what's up. But there are still times where it would have been like you get a phone call or something happens and the video cuts off or something else happens and you want to clip it together that before. If you wanted to upload it straight to YouTube, you could use the YouTube editor, but it's like, okay, this isn't as immediate as I'd like it to be because now I have to go into YouTube and edit it together. So I definitely see an advantage to this. Is it something I need often? No, because this video is usually pretty laid back and, like you said, lazy. But this is really convenient, and if you want to add some fun music behind something silly that you're seeing out and about, then that makes it more entertaining, I think. So there's definitely perks to this. There's no reason why YouTube shouldn't have an app that does stuff like this.
Yeah. Hey, Amy, you mentioned that you had a separate channel for iPhone videos. Is that a common thing where it's like you don't want to put a crappy video out of brand on your main channel?
I waited a long time to make that decision because to some extent, you know, I have only so many subscribers and they all want to hear from me and they really don't care. I know that I care, but with YouTube coming out with playlists, it was easy for people to be like, I don't care about her iPhone videos, but be able to go to my channel and watch edited content, or the other way around, if they would rather watch me out and about on my phone. But
Yeah.
She's taking a moment to collect her thoughts.
Absolutely.
This is an important point she's about to make, Chad.
Absolutely.
Don't rush her on this.
It's funny because I there is two trains of thought. Is one, you put everything, well, there's multiple trains of thought, way more than just two, but the overarching ones are you put everything on one channel or you break everything out. And so I Justine, like, she has like four different channels. She has ones for her lazy vlogs, for her gaming, for her normal videos. Which one do you think you're doing?
You know what? Because what's weird is we started taking, you know, Scam School every Wednesday night. We have a highly produced, edited episode that takes place in the field at an actual bar where we teach a bar scam or a trick. And that's what it is every Wednesday. But every so often, I'll offer some thoughts, some Q&A, some commentary. And of course, that's not Scam School. And if I were to release it as a Scam School episode, people are so trained to be like, I didn't learn any tricks. You know, what is this crap? You're talking about your beliefs about what you should do. No. And so we kept it in the same channel. We called them Behind the Scam episodes. They're still produced in advance, but it's more of a back channel. It's a little more raw, but by labeling it something different under the same mega brand, you get away with it. Now, as far as like being able to do different things, like, I could never get away. Now, both of those are related to scam related bar, whatever,
right,
content. If I wanted to say, like, here's a hilarious commentary on a viral video, there's no way I could get away with doing that, which I don't really have to worry about because I guess that's kind of what I've been doing with all the different shows. You know, if I want to talk and sound smart, I'm so smart I can't even say the word smart, sound
genius,
smart about cinema,
smart.
That's why we have Frame Rate. Or if we want to talk about the changing shape of media, that's why I get to show up on This Week in YouTube. So I think I've been doing that. But it never occurred to me to splinter off even further with another sub-channel. I guess as long as it's related to bar scams and cons, I'll always put it on the Scam School channel. But if it's related to my kids or we're making a Christmas card, That's definitely on my personal channel.
Right. And I would say for you, you love this live streaming aspect. And I don't think a lot of YouTubers have really grasped that yet. Because I remember many times you just go live on a Twitch or Justin TV channel and you just start talking. And I feel like that fills your niche for you.
Well, that was a skill that was developed. Now, understand, part of the reason that YouTube has become such a strong platform and that jump cut YouTube style emerged as its own thing was because anyone could take a moment and take 15 minutes to explain their thoughts and then go out and cut out every and stumble, all the stuff that is less to do with what it is you want to say and more to do with how you're saying it. And that's why you got this condensed knowledge. You got this style that's all about don't waste my time. What's your point? Make me laugh. Go. And that's the strength of YouTube. I understood that and I was down with it. And that's what we were doing with Scam School. Every time there's an and an elm, I'd insist on cutting it all out so everything was polished and smooth. But then I would watch programming like here on Twit and I'd be all like, the idea, like, that's hard. How do you open your mouth, let your thoughts come out and not stumble every 5 seconds? And I still stammer all the time. And it's been 4 years into it. The whole reason I started off going live on Justin, my stated goal was to be bad in public. Now, not for a lot of people, but I needed a place to safely be bad so I could do it so much that I got good. And I obviously it's what you've been doing because you're polished, more polished than ever right now.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Flight time is what you need. Amy, I wanted to let you finish your thought on the multiple YouTube channel idea.
I'm really sorry. I'm having technical difficulties today. But no, I think I pretty much finished my thought process. I think there's actually a lot more capability on YouTube to avoid doing that. But at some point, you just want it all separate.
And then that's a great,
that's right.
Great point.
I do
keep
agree.
It all separate.
Sometimes you do just want it all separate.
Now we've come to the point of the show where we thank our wonderful sponsor, Squarespace. You probably have a brand, something that you want to have people know about. And the best place to do that is on a place that you own and can control. And Squarespace is the easiest way to have that happen. If you have a blog, an online portfolio, something that you just want, a landing page, I mean, Squarespace has all of these things for you. It's constantly being improved with tons of new features. And the thing that I really like about Squarespace is that it is beautiful and easy to keep it looking beautiful. I've other products, you start off with a template and then you can't really edit it. Oh my gosh, with Squarespace, everything is easy to use. You can highly editable, move things around, make it look like yours, and it looks so super professional. On top of that, it's mobile ready. As we know, YouTube is a very mobile first, almost, you know, I think 40%, 50% and up of mobile views, and you need a site that can scale down to mobile or even scale up to a desktop. So with Squarespace, you get that. Also, you're hoping to get seen by search engines. Squarespace is search engine optimized to make sure that all of your content can be crawled by Google, Yahoo, Bing, and anywhere else that search engines will crawl. So here's what I want you to do. Don't take my word for it. Head on over to squarespace.com. Try out their service. They're giving you a week for free to try Squarespace. No credit card required. Just start building a website. If after that time you decide that you want to actually buy it and keep it keep going, TWIYT11 is the offer code you should use, and that will get you 10% off your account. With Squarespace, you can use TWIYT11 to get 10% off. And we thank Squarespace for their support of this week in YouTube. I think it's great for you. So the YouTube comments came. Last week's episode was basically all about the new integration with Google+ and YouTube comments. And this week, there is still a little bit of news, basically the fallout from all of the comments. I remember the first few days that we still had the legacy comment system, so there was some weird stuff that you couldn't respond and you couldn't reply to things. I actually wanted to get Amy and Brian's feedback. How has the comments been treating you, Brian?
Dude, first of all, just out of my curiosity, what was your and Lamar's take in one sentence apiece? What did you guys think?
I would say mine was features are coming and they're here, which we didn't have before. Get over it.
Yeah.
Lamar's take was he agreed very whole. We had iJustine on last week, and their take was you can't do anything about it. It's here to stay. Get over it and learn it. Is basically how they felt.
Yeah, and you know what? They are learning it because you'll notice that the way people, this is what blows my mind, is the way people are protesting the Google Plus integration is by using all the awesome new features that come with Google Plus integration in order to protest it. They're using ASCII art to make tanks. They're like, yeah, this is how much I hate it. Look at this guy. It's pretty rad, huh?
Right.
And other people are like, this is how much I hate it. I'm going to take five paragraphs to explain it, which I couldn't do before. And then someone else is like, this is how much I hate it. Here's a link to another video, which I could never do before.
Right.
And it's like, it's amazing to me. That's what tells me this is all going to blow over. It's going to be fine. We were talking about this on Frame Rate, and Tom Merritt nailed it. He said, if they had just said it's the new YouTube comment system, then they would have been like, oh, I hate the new YouTube. Bring back the old YouTube, just like we heard with Facebook a million times before. But because they called it, we're integrating it with Google Plus, and they're seeing it for the first time, they have the same knee-jerk, rah, change is bad, as they had before, but now they have a name for it. And they have a narrative.
Stick a pin in it and keep it sticky.
Yes, exactly. And again, that's messier than I'm sure Google would have liked. But you know, everyone's all like, oh, I lose my anonymity. No, you don't. You just make two different presences. If you're worried about, say, don't use your real name. They allow you to do that. That's fine. And then other people are like, well, now you'll have all these hateful comments because people can make five different accounts. It's like, you could already do that. Pick one thing and be upset about that.
Right.
All I know is that previously, YouTube's comment system was such a caustic environment that nobody wanted to participate, including the Skype lady.
She would go, really wants to talk this episode.
He was like, oh, wait your turn, Skype lady. I'm talking now. The old comment system was utterly broken in that you couldn't express fully. It was systematically designed to encourage small hateful barbs, and that's what always would rocket up to the top. If you're snarky and you added nothing to the conversation, you won. YouTube has grown up since then and become the most important video platform of the 21st century to date. And if you're going to do that, if you want to be taken seriously at the next presidential debates or the Olympics or whatever it is, you have to have an environment that allows for people's reputation to precede them. Like you can still say whatever you want. And it doesn't even have to be your name. Just understand that this is now on the record for your account and that other people will be able to pre-filter your comments based on what you've said in the past.
What do you feel about YouTube taking more steps to become Google Plusified? Because I'm speculating here, but I bet that the like will soon be changed to the plus and that subscribing will be adding them to your circle. Do you feel...
Yeah, you know...
Go ahead.
First of all, here, I don't think it'll be changed to a plus because one of the things that YouTube likes is that they can give a thumbs down. They can actively say, I dislike this, right?
Right.
So if you switch to the plus, maybe you could do a minus. I think about this. You could either do a plus or a minus. The reason I think you're right that they're getting away from the plus is that, to be honest, I think it's the fact that they turned that like bar from green to blue. First they dropped the red. Used to be green and red. Oh, you didn't notice that? It used to be green on one side, red on the other. And then they were like, well, let's not focus on how much people dislike things. So let's just make it green and then gray. And then the fact that like, okay, everyone thinks of green as likes. Let's just make it something else. It's just blue now, whatever that like bar is. Mm-hmm. So it could be a plus and a minus thing, and you still get that same blue bar with gray at the end. I could totally see that happening. But I do not see them taking away the dislike action.
Yeah, you're right. Huh. It's so funny. I hadn't noticed that before. That it is, I was trying to find a video that I knew would get dislikes, and I was like, my latest red hair video. I'm sure that it has dislikes. Amy, how do you feel about the YouTube integration with Google Plus moving forward? I'm postulating that possibly the like would get replaced with a plus one, and that subscribing would get replaced with circling someone. This is all just speculation. This hasn't been decided. How do you feel about that moving forward. Interesting. Good. She's thinking about it.
She's pensive. She's this very evening. Pensive.
Right.
She doesn't mince words, Amy.
No. Now, there's been a lot of great feedback from YouTube and from people who are noticing features. There's a few articles. One is from realseo.com that if you're a creator like us, and hopefully like you are watching the show, there's 11 really great tips that Real SEO threw together going, you know, quickly is that you can mention people in your circles, which helps to have them know about it. And also when you're typing in their name, like plus Brian Brushwood, you can see what other circles you have them circled in. So let's say you're using the top fan feature that is also now with YouTube. If you start to type someone's name, you could see that they're in that top fan circle, which you can't do any other way, to kind of realize, oh yeah, I do know this person, which is kind of nice.
You know what? Hold on. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they had a top fan circling service because as you were saying this, I think, why would I ever publish just to a certain circle? If you're mm-hmm. on YouTube, you want to be a broadcaster and be heard by everyone. Or if you consider yourself a YouTuber. But then, like, you realize what you're setting up. If you have the top fan service, that means I guarantee you what they're doing is they're going to build in their own Patreon-like service where you can have an inner circle who always gets your videos first, who always gets to respond, and it's absolutely limited circle for them. And it just costs whatever amount it takes in order to keep your lights on.
Absolutely. So at the moment, if you go to your YouTube, on YouTube, hit the drop down and go to dashboard. This is actually a very new feature. I haven't even shown. I believe we talked about it a few weeks ago, but it's so new that this is the first time I'm showing it. If you go to your dashboard, then over on the side, there's a community area. And then if you click that, you have fans, and these are your top fans, and you can circle all of these fans, and you can even right at the top, there's just a button that says create a top fan circle, so you don't have to individually circle them. And this is your top fans. Like, you could do this with Scam School, and all of the fans that interact the most on all of your videos get added to a circle. Isn't that cool?
That
and you could release
amazing
specific content just to your 1,000 top fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the only thing that bums me out is that means that because Scam School is a separate entity from my personal thing, you know, obviously I have a healthy following on Google Plus, but I couldn't use that because
right,
it's separate. I'd have to figure out some Google foo on that.
And I think because my Google is a page that I could only circle them on the Google page, not on my personal account.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless maybe, oh, you know, no, wait, you can share circles. So you would set the circle on the page and then you would share it. And then on your other account, you would circle them, and then you could figure out the distribution on that.
Right. And then, yeah, I think that it self updates, but you know what? You've cloned the circle. It's not that big of a deal.
Hey, Chad, you know, I just realized something. Mm-hmm. You realize that we never see Amy and the Skype lady at the same time in the same place. It's like all of a sudden Amy's like, I got to go and think about this thought real hard. And then the Skype lady starts talking.
I wonder if Amy's the Skype lady.
Just putting that together. Shh.
What? It's like super lady.
I stole that idea from the chat room.
That's great. That's great. We covered a lot of the other features, but I did want to mention a few more from this. You can edit your comments. I totally forgot about that feature. We didn't cover it last week. Of course, including links and the fact that now it sort of uses a zeitgeist to figure out if someone in your circles has commented, you can bring that in. And there's another great post by The Greatest Ever, which is youtube.com/TheGreatestEver, spelled with an 8. So have fun finding that. He mentions, he talked to, he, you know, he reposted from YouTube mentioning a lot of the issues. Basically, the whole YouTube team knows about the spam issues, about now that you can put in links, you could scan, spam, you know, unapproved links. And basically, YouTube knows that there's problems and that they're going to work on it. And then finally, there's a petition always hits. We actually covered this petition, but now it is up to 112,000 signatures
I bet. How big did the Facebook petition get to?
Bring
back the old Facebook. There are still people shouting, bring back the old Facebook, even though that's not what they want.
I don't like these new wall comment things.
Get off my lawn with your jazz music.
Okay, so that about wraps up. Any other final thoughts on Google+ comments? I mean, I think we've covered it to death.
No, yeah. I mean, that's fine. It's you're going to hate it till you love it. That's how it boils down.
I'm already kind of loving it.
I saw you had a problem with it early on. You're like, I give up Google. And then now you're like, well, that is
kind of
nice.
Comments. That was the page thing. That's another whole thing that I still don't know which is the best thing. I'm just passively aggressively going to comment on Google+.
Sure. Right.
I can say that for most of the people that I talked to about the Google+ comments, their views have increased because of... when you comment, you automatically share it to Google+. So that's pretty good.
I was going to say, look, imagine all they've done is they've taken the comments, they made a little robust, more robust comment system, and they just imagine it's now a well. If you see one thing and you want to dive in and see more of it, you can go see, well, what else did this person do? And then explore all, because if think about the reverse, everyone's all worried about like, now you're going to know all my other stuff. What if you made a beautiful comment that somebody is like, that is the most elegant way I've ever heard that phrase? They can click and they can discover you and they can discover all your other awesome comments. You're like, you're the most thoughtful person on YouTube. Finally, they've created an environment that doesn't skew automatically to where the most caustic comments get the best responses.
Right. Amy, do you have any, I think we have you audio only now. Do you have any comments that you want to mention about YouTube comments? How have they been treating you now that they're enacted?
Well, I think initially everybody was just sort of confused. I'm sure you guys talked about this, about how you can't reply to previous comments before the system. So that was confusing sort of the first day. But after that, I didn't have a problem with it at all. I can definitely see some spam issues that they're working on. And they've said, you know, we're working on this stuff. But, you know, it's heavy integration with Google+. If you don't like Google+, then you're like, so mad about it. But at the same time, an average user who may have a Google+ account just because it's a default and all of their comments are being copied over to this Google+ account, it's really not that big of a deal, because either A, you don't ever use it and now you have activity there automatically and it makes it look like you are using it, or B, you do use it and you have more activity going over there, which means you're showing up more often and you have more of a strong presence. So it's not a huge deal. And most people are avoiding Google+ altogether. So since we have to have an account in order to use YouTube, then just let it go.
Have you found that your interaction has increased or decreased with the new comments?
Definitely increased, because I had a Google+ account and now I have 50. But the one that's directly correlated with my channel was just there so that, you know, you have the managers and those different permissions. But I wasn't using that at all, because I had a personal Google+ before all this stuff started happening. So the personal was where most of my activity was. But now that all of this stuff is copying over to the Google+ account that is associated with this YouTube account, now I have even more interaction happening on that page. So it's made everything go up and more people are following that Google+ page because of the commenting activity that's happening.
Very good, very good. Okay, so one thing that we have to cover, we started This Week in YouTube trying to cover a viral video every week, and now we only do it when something really catches our fancy, and this one has been everywhere. I know Brian's seen it because you also shared it. Amy, have you seen the Volvo trucks split? I think you have, because you liked it on...
Oh, yes.
Okay, so... Let's just go ahead and play a bit of it. One of my favorite things, this is with Van.
Is the fact that they use Enya.
Enya in the background.
It's like the best part of the whole thing.
Do you hear? Yeah.
So good.
And also the fact that he literally says, "Feeds a body crafted to perfection." That my body is crafted to perfection. And a pair of legs. Turn it up. Physics. Apparently.
A mindset to master the most epic of splits.
The most epic of splits! This is the most epic of splits. And you see these Volvo trucks, and they move apart while he's standing on the mirrors.
18-wheelers, which, I mean, Chad, how good are you backing up a trailer?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine being, like, the guy that's like, okay. And this is an ad to show off Volvo's steering control system on their semi-trucks. It says this is a setup to demonstrate the stability and precision of Volvo's dynamic steering.
Yeah, I got to tell you, to be honest, it had the intended effect on me because, number one, you look at it and you think, okay, CGI it all to hell. Then it says, like, this is a demonstration of our steering technique. I'll tell you what, I'm like, all right, explain this, boys. And I typed it in and I figured, okay, it's computer controlled. It's like Google driving cars. No, those are actual drivers. But then I actually watched the whole demonstration about how it does like equalization when it hits. Like I'm turning into an ad for Volvo.
I had no idea. I hadn't followed through.
Well, and so like when you hit potholes and stuff, instead of jiggling the handle, it handles all it so it stays totally straight. And a small move will make a big curve and so on. So you have two expert drivers, and you'll notice that they have these lines on the tarmac that they've done, these registration areas that they're supposed to hit.
Yeah.
So like the real heroes of this, I mean, besides the guy who can split his legs around his head,
right,
of course, the drivers who are very carefully watching mirrors,
right,
as they pull all the way back.
I noticed that too. Like the magic part of my brain was like, these lines are here for a reason, and you can see that they hit it perfectly, and then they stop. Even
now,
with lines, holy crap.
And also, it should be said, there are two things that they did. He is wearing a harness for safety, which makes sense, duh. And they said that they put little planks of wood for him to stand on those rear-view mirrors so that he could curve his things up, at least according to the Wall Street Journal article.
Still. But I'd say pretty effective. I blew my mind. I've seen it everywhere. And
Chad,
so,
how do you respond to the accusation from Beatmaster in the chat who says, the drivers were doing nothing. JCVD pushed them apart with his perfect splits.
Well, that steering control kept those guys together pretty well, I gotta say.
Normally, they would have gone tumbling off to the side.
Absolutely. Yeah, bumps and split, epic split action. I mean, you can't compete. Man, absolutely insane. Cool. Now it is time to thank our second sponsor for this episode, Hulu Plus. You know Hulu.com. They're the website that allows you to stream TVs and movies whenever you want. But what happens if you're not next to your computer and all you got is your iPad and phone or maybe even a television lying around in that living room you have? Well, here comes Hulu Plus to save the day. Hulu Plus is an app and it's for iPad and for Android here. That allows you to view all of those awesome TV shows, but on a mobile device. So here we got Catching Fire, which is opening this week. Tons and tons of movies and TV shows. You can dig down into kids. There's even some ad-free selections in here for specific movies and kids content. I'm excited because I can catch up on shows like Lost, Doctor Who, Community, and Star Trek, and it has every episode on those types of shows. You can also check out exclusive content on Hulu Originals, Behind the Mask, and which is Hulu's new docu-series that takes you inside the world of sports mascots, which is kind of cool. And all of this only cost $7.99 a month, so you could easily binge on whatever content you want, catching up on your current shows and catching all of those episodes. So when you are out on the road and you need to watch something anywhere, via from your phone, tablet, or TV, remember Hulu Plus. Right now, I can give you 2 free weeks of Hulu Plus if you go to huluplus.com/TWIYT. That's a special offer for only our listeners. You get an extra week for free. So make sure you use huluplus.com/TWIYT to get that extended free trial if you want to check it out. You know what? We all love TV. Well, every once in a while, it's just like candy. So absolutely head over to HuluPlus.com/TWIYT. And we thank them for sponsoring this week's episode. So now, normally this is the tip portion of the show where we get a tip from either our guests or from us. And it's been a while since I've updated people on my goal. Brian, you actually were the one who taught me about goal setting.
I remember we were in the backwoods of New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and I started challenging you to ask, and you started spouting off crazy stuff like, I want to host my own show in a fancy studio and be famous on YouTube.
I literally said back then that I wanted three things. I wanted to host my own podcast. I wanted a YouTube thing. And there was one other. I wanted something else. I forget what it was.
$1 billion.
Way to set that goal.
Yeah, right. I forgot. I didn't write it down, so I don't have it.
What a great goal.
Right. And some of the things, and we covered this earlier, is write it down, make sure you have a deadline and all this stuff. So I'm not sure if Brian knows, but my goal is to reach 10,000 subscribers by the end of 2013. And so I wanted to mention the strategies that I've been doing since the weeks that I brought it up.
Can I guess? I guess?
Yeah.
You go around to everyone else's channel saying, hey, check out my channel. I'm awesome.
I haven't done that strategy yet. Has that worked for you, Brian?
No, but I figured it must be working since that's all that's filled in my comments before Google Plus took them over.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now they show up as spam.
Yeah. Now they're just filtered right out of there. So to show this off, I wanted to actually show you numbers and show you trends on what's going on. So we're actually going to go to my page, and I don't even know if this is legal. I have no idea, but we're going to do it anyway. The goal I needed to get around 100 subscribers a day, which I can absolutely say that's not happening. So if you look at my subscriber count, actually I accidentally hit view count. Go to subscribers, you can see that I'm definitely not making that goal. So at the moment, it seems like, give up, but that's absolutely not what's going to happen because there's other ways that you can boost that number. And you can see these sort of humps in the graph. That was for Minecon. So I found out that my Minecon videos were really good and as far as traction, which was something that kind of broke my channel out and that I got someone else onto my channel, which brought in extra views. So that's a tip that I would suggest is we all know it, collaboration videos, doing them in practice is really hard, which I've found out. And using also just YouTube's built-in stuff, you can see which videos are getting the most traction. This one was shared via Reddit. So I know that's something that I might want to focus on. Basically, all of these inputs are helping you decide where to focus your channel on. And I wanted to kind of run through this because every channel is going to be different. Everyone's channel is going to have a different strategy that you're going to need to use. So you can kind of see where I'm working through my strategy and moving forward is maybe, this one was shared on Reddit. That was where it got most of its views. So maybe I need to focus on making content that's a little bit more tailored to Reddit if they're already gravitating content.
This is what I like about this, Chad, is that you are not falling into the trap that I think a lot of young YouTubers do, which is all they want to do is feel good about the number of views they got. They want to sit there and be like, that's right, over 1,000 views. And, and of course, 600 of them were themselves.
Right.
You can trick yourself into feeling very good, but that won't get you closer to your goal. And you nailed it. Subscriber count is a proxy for the value of your brand as an entertainer and as a thought leader or whatever made up words we're using nowadays. The fact that you're focused on, okay, what can I do to drive that momentum and that you're evaluating what works and what doesn't. It also, some people fall into the trap like, okay, now I have my 2,000 subscribers. I'll just cater to them. You want to keep your show approachable, which is why you want to try to manufacture something that Reddit is going to like. And that you can use as an audition tape to see if they're going to subscribe to you later on.
Absolutely. And I want to focus on that audition tape because what I wanted to combat in this conversation is that obviously I'm not hitting that goal of getting 100 subscribers a day, which is what I need to do to get to 10,000. So many people, so the only way that I could possibly reach my goal at this point is to have a few breakout hits, is to have something where in a single day I get 3,000 subscribers, or in a single day something big happens. And I'm worried that by saying that, a lot of people, and including myself, might say, well, then the stuff that I'm doing day to day, that doesn't matter. I should not focus on that, and I should focus only on those breakout hits. But what you're, just like what you said, your channel is an audition place, and when people come to your channel, they need to be able to enjoy the buffet of content that you've set out for them through all of these past months. So consistency is still key. If you just have one big video and people come and they notice that your channel is dead, there is no momentum there. You don't go anywhere from there.
That's a good point, because think about how many times we see one good episode of a show. We're like, how have I not heard about this? What do? We immediately go back to the back catalog on Netflix and on Hulu Plus and try to watch as many of episodes. And then by the time you've seen 30 episodes, now you're a galvanized fan and you can't wait for the next thing. That's why, as you nailed it, you got to have consistency of quality and of character the entire way through, so that when one, you can try to make one intentionally, like, I'm going to overproduce this one. I'm going to tighten it more than I normally would. I'm going to make it about this currently popular topic. Normally, I don't necessarily have to do that, but I'm doing this intentionally because I think the Reddit would really like this. And then you throw it out there and maybe it becomes a viral hit. Again, you're going to get, of the 100,000 people that see that video, 10,000 are going to click back. And if there's nothing in the catalog, nobody's going to stick around. But of that 10,000, they'll see you got 30 episodes, 5,000 are going to start watching, and by the end, you're going to have 1,000 dyed-in-the-wool true fans who all came out of that original 100,000 viral hit.
Absolutely. And then finally, a tip that I would suggest is socialblade.com. Socialblade.com uses different graphs than YouTube's integrated graphs, and it helped me kind of dig down, because you can see humps a little bit easier where your numbers are going up. There was a day that I privated a whole bunch of videos that that were old, and so my view count went down, and you can actually see this kind of scary looking graph of everything. Wow. Was going great until I privated those videos, and bam, it kind of dropped. And you can see up here, this, my daily views went to negative one. I'm sorry, I'm zoomed in. It's a little bit buggy. Negative 43,000 views on one day. But Social Blade has some nice graphs for you to really dig down and to sort of grab week by week changes, or a day by day changes in that. So to wrap up, I would say that currently my strategy, I found out that collab videos obviously work really well for me. Making those videos happen and scheduling those videos are the hardest thing. Also, I'm trying to focus on what drives content, what is getting good views is what people really like. And so I should continue making that. And then don't focus. You can have the problem of focusing too much on basically candy things that really won't wholesomely grow your channel. I'm using a lot of food references here.
Are you hungry?
It's apparently
getting late. I'm hungry too.
So if you want to eat my channel, head on over to... No, I'm just kidding. Do you guys have any other tips that you'd... For anyone who is wanting to grow their channel, anything that you want to throw out there? I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Crack your own code. When you watch a show enough, you eventually figure out that there's a rhythm to it. It's always going to start with this. There's going to be this kind of twist, and then this guy's going to say that kind of thing. That's easier for us to figure out in somebody else's show after 20 or 30 episodes, and we like it. It's like every episode of a certain sitcom is going to be pretty much the same, and there's a consistency that appeals to a lot of people, and that's why sitcoms are always, dominating the primetime. Figure out what it is about your videos that are your keystones. It took me 120, 160, 100, 200 episodes of Scam School before I figured out that, my brand is yelling all the time, and getting crazy. And it's difficult to, I go back and I watch, if you look at the difference between, the first episode, like, hi guys, welcome to Scam School. It's a show about, I guess, magic. And then, and then you flash forward 300 episodes. It's like, you were not prepared for this week's amazing challenge. Figure it out. Crack your own code and then be that character and be that thing. That's my advice.
Absolutely. Amy, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I just think this is the most amazing timing ever. Tomorrow, I'm going to be posting my Savage Tuesday episode. It's my 200th episode of the Triple S, and I'm using it as sort of an opportunity to use my channel as a case study. I've only had this consistency, structure type of three videos a week situation for about 8 months now. And 8 months ago was my 100th video. So it's really interesting to look at the analytics and see how far my channel has come, leaps and bounds in both views and subscribership, which aren't the end all be all. But as long as, like you guys were saying, the subscribership is moving forward with the views, we're not depending on viral videos here. That's not how you build a brand on YouTube. But by having a presence that people are excited about, once they've stumbled upon you, it makes them want to continue to follow you. And I'm going to be able to kind of prove those results that I've had in my video tomorrow. So there's no doubt about it. Consistency is key. And, you know, when you do plan on doing something, if you want to step up your game and do something that's, you know, you might be thinking of it as a viral video, but you're really hoping that it's going to go a little bit further than what you would typically do. Consistency doesn't just mean your schedule. It is has a lot to do with what people can expect overall. And I think people forget that. So make sure that whatever that video is that you're working on, it's something that people can continue to expect from you. Maybe not every single time, but like we go back and watch old episodes of stuff, they want to be able to go back and watch old content that's in a similar realm. So just keep that in mind. And I think anybody will see leaps and bounds of growth by doing that.
I cannot wait, because this is exactly what I've been wanting to know. And so everyone head on over to Savvy Sexy Social to make sure that you get all of Amy's future videos, because she you're a creator. We're a creator. She talks exactly our language. So go and check it out. Brian, what have you been up to in the past? I mean, you have so much content that it might even be hard for you to talk about. But in this past week, anything that you want to point people to?
Well, the biggest thing we did is, as people know, last year I launched a site called scamstuff.com. We call it Gear for the Modern Rogue. The idea is everything from like James Bond gear to magic trick stuff. If you want to be the most interesting person with the most badass stuff on you at the bar, head on over to scamstuff.com. We just did a giant 2-day sale, but most of the stuff is no longer available. We sold out of just about everything. But we got a few sweet things like the Scam School book plus three trick decks for only $29. You could do that as a gift. And also, if you take a look, if you pan down at the Rogue's Flask, that's an 8-ounce flask with a built-in shot glass to it with symbols that are the answers. They're cheat sheets for 23 different Scam School effects. And just one by itself is a great gift. But if you got like three friends, you want to save a bunch of money, you could buy like three of them at a time and get a big discount. That's pretty cool. I got one for... In fact, I discovered it I'll tell you the story later. Anyway, it's cool.
Awesome. And especially if you're shopping for a guy for Christmas, they can be sometimes the most, especially someone who has all the gadgets you've ever had. There's some really cool stuff at scamstuff.com. I'm probably going to ask for the lace escape tool because that
thing's cool. It's a handcuff key that clamps. To the end of your shoelace, and you just put it on there. You cover it up with this little aglet, and then when you get kidnapped by ninjas, you're just like, "Waha, take that, jerks!"
I don't even think you need to cover it up with a little thing. Like, who would ever look at your shoelace for a key? Right. It's always on you. You could get arrested at any point and then escape. It's the best thing ever. Scamstuff.com. This last week, my channel, I've been trying to ramp up the video production to one video a day. And I think this week is the first week that I'll actually be able to pull that off. In the meantime, on my Minecraft server, I've put out two episodes, and they're both actually very, very good. I've switched up the edit style of this, where basically I record for 2 to 3 hours and then edit it down to, you know, this is what, 27 minutes and 36 minutes, so that I can do a lot, but also not keep the episode very long. I interviewed my improv teacher. I've been taking an improv class, and I went to talk to her about what it's like to do improv for a living. And so that was my vlog. with a little waffles in the background. And I got an awesome chance to play the Hunger Games with some actually huge Minecraft YouTubers. And that just went up 5 hours ago. It's called Hunger Games. And Seth Bling, Beepbotbox, Pause on Pause, Good Badge, a whole bunch of people joined me for that game. And Aurelian, and that was a lot of fun. So I've been up to a lot this past week. So please go check out youtube.com/omgchad. Of course, you can catch us live every Monday at around 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. If you want to subscribe to our show, head on over to youtube.com/twiyt. You can see Lamar. Hopefully, he'll be back next week after he's recovered from the plague or whatever he has this week, and to keep up to date on all of the YouTube goodness, and of course you can subscribe in iTunes or any place that finer podcasts are aggregated. That about wraps it up. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
Bye.